Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance on negotiation, chapter one, it's all about relationships. Folks, if your knowledge of desk, high D's, I's, S's and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us. The next item you said was give first.
Give first, yeah. So one of the things that people say in negotiation for salary is that you never say the first number. You wait for the company to say the first number, which is just stupid.
By the way, we don't want to confuse salary with negotiation, folks. We stand firm in our commitment that the vast majority of you should not be negotiating salary, because in fact, salary is not a negotiation. Salary, asking for more money, is not a negotiation. That's just asking for more. In a negotiation, if Wendy and I are negotiating my salary because she's going to be my boss, if it were truly a negotiation, I would ask for more for her in return for offering something more to her. But that makes no sense because I only have myself to give. I can't say, well, I was only going to work 40 hours a week, but now I'll work 50. Will you pay me more? That's not a negotiation.
Sorry, I confused people there, but
yeah. Oh, but it's a good one though. But no, it's a fair thing. I think the vast majority of people in the world think that salary should be negotiated. And
yeah, you're right.
When you suck as bad as most people do at negotiation and you're talking about money, you ought not to do it.
So, as a buyer, what could you do to give first? You could imagine walking into a negotiation and saying, yeah, I've got an extra 10% of cash I can give you. But you don't want to do that. You don't want to be stupid about it.
And that's important to you. It may be the most important thing if you're a buyer is that you want to reduce your purchase price. And so, therefore, you wouldn't walk into a negotiation and say, I'm prepared to give you the thing I most want.
Yeah, exactly. Right at the beginning of a negotiation, the thing the seller wants is information. That's why they ask you a bunch of questions. And you can give them information, but what most people do is that I'll give you some of the information, but I'm going to hold these pieces back because I want to see what you say to the pieces I'm going to give you. And where you can give first is to give them everything and be completely open about everything that you want and what you're needing and what you're expecting, so that they can actually give you a real answer.
Okay.
And if you think about your customers, the people that you work for, is it better if they give you more information about their problem?
Up front,
yeah.
Yeah, and what most people do is assume that they don't want to give away information. And when you actually find out later, you're arguing about a particular point, and the client says, or the customer says, well, actually, what's really important is X. And you can understand why X was important to them, and so therefore they're arguing about this other thing that represents X to them. And the moment you hear it, you're like, oh, well, I can do that. And
yeah.
You've wasted a half an hour or an hour.
Exactly. So here's an example that's, look, if it's not a work-related example, but it's something that most of us do, so hopefully it will help. So imagine you're booking a vacation, and you say to the travel agent, I want to go somewhere hot, no more than 3 hours away, sometime in June. And the guy says, okay, how about the Ritz on the Virgin Islands? And if you have an unlimited budget, then yes, that's where you go. But if your budget is only $2,000 and you're trying to get the best deal, you've just shot yourself in the foot. Because the moment you say to the guy, well, I can't afford that, I've only got $2,000, he's like, I've just done a search. Like, it might only be like 3 minutes of his life, but it's 3 minutes he just wasted with you, which he could have been using for something else. If you do it differently and give all the information first, if you tell him, look, I've got a budget of $2,000 and that's really important to me, I need to stick within that, I have to pay all the fees, absolutely everything within that $2,000, and you say, but I'm really flexible about location, he gets to tell you about a hotel that is within your range, But because you gave him flexibility on location, he can pick one that gives him a good commission. So he's won, and you've won.
Right.
Just because you gave more information.
What about as a seller?
As a seller, again, the worst thing about being a buyer is not having information. The reason we all hate changing cable packages and changing cell phone packages is because the information is so confusing. There's no apples to apples comparison. Everybody offers something different and they call it something different and they bundle it differently and you can't work out which is the best deal. And if we imagine something that everybody does, if you were buying a cable package or you had a cable package and you get an email from Time Warner Cable and it says, here's the information. This is what you've got on your package that you're buying right now. And here's what AT&T would give you. And it was not marketed, not slanted. It was just the information. It was an apples to apples comparison. Even if AT&T were more expensive, were cheaper, I'm sorry, you might stay with TWC. There's a cost in changing.
Right.
So there has to be enough benefit for you to want to change. The fact that they're willing to give you information that's actually complete and understandable and useful, that would make me want to stay with them. It would give me goodwill towards them. You know, AT&T would have to go a long way down for me to then swap.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, we're willing to pay more for the things that we want. Maggie and I were on the phone to somebody a few days ago, and when they told us the cost, we were talking about one service level, and when he said to it, oh, well, if you go up, it's, you know, it's $250. And he said it as if, you know,
he was absolutely fearful.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. We were like, no, that's fine. Because we wanted that, and it didn't matter to us how much it cost, $250.
Right. Well, are we talking about Salesforce here?
We were, about the Collaborate
stuff. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, we were talking about implementing Salesforce at Manager Tools, and we were on a call with a vendor that was helping us with this, and we were comparing pricing for Salesforce editions and trying to understand if one had what we wanted or didn't, and it was clear that the person who was talking to us was trying to help us understand why what we were thinking about buying would in fact give us most of what we wanted. And maybe he really didn't need those other things. And it was clear that his fear of our price sensitivity was causing him to try to get us to agree to the thing that he thought we would buy, which in fact we already had. And we spent a half an hour discussing the differences. I finally said, wait a minute, all these things that we may or may not want, all they cost is this much? And he said, yeah. I said, well, then we'll take that. And we wasted a half an hour of me and you and Mike and Maggie's time, right? Which was more expensive, I'm sure, in the long run, because we didn't have information and he had assumptions that he had not validated, which is, again, a lack of information. And there are plenty of people who would say, well, Mark, you would never tell him cost is no object. In this case, it was for us because the issue was time. Time for us is the most precious resource. For him, the vast majority of people who talk to him, it's all about cost. For us, it was different. And we hadn't said, we don't care about cost. We don't, because time is our big issue.
Yeah. And either way, whether you're on the buying side or the selling side, giving first is a good thing, because if you give, then the law of reciprocity. Thank you. Means that the other person will be encouraged to give. And the thing that you can give first is information.
Yeah. You don't have to give away your position. You don't have to give away revenue. You don't have to give away profits. You don't have to give away money. You don't have to give away time, but you can provide more information to have them realize we don't need to argue about X and Y and Z the way we normally do. We need to argue about something else. In fact, we've talked about this before, Wendy. Many, many companies, when you call in, and it's less and less likely thanks to the world of apps, but when you call a company that you're going into a phone system for and you're getting to an operator for tech help or service help or to schedule something or to call an airline or whatever, and you hear the message which says, this call may be recorded for quality purposes, most of you don't realize that when you hear that, the system is recording your answers to those calls, and making determinations about your state of mind and emotional state to put you in touch with the right representative. You're sharing information up front, and they're surprisingly good. And the reason I say that is because I'll often get on a call and say, dude, I don't care about anything else but this. I've said before, we have a very good relationship with Apple. They're a client of ours, and we're an Apple shop in terms of our technology because it makes for a convenient experience. And my greatest retail experience of my life was I walked into the Apple store about 5 weeks after the first iPhone came out, what was it, 7 years ago, and said, I want an iPhone. I want it in black, I think. And I said, I want the biggest one. It may have not come in white back then, so I just said, the biggest one. And the concierge guy that was standing there walked over behind a counter, grabbed one, handed it to me, swiped my card. I was out of there in less than a minute. Mm-hmm. And he read me effectively, and I didn't care. I didn't care about anything else. All I cared about was walking in and walking out, which is one of the reasons why I didn't buy on opening day, because I didn't want to stand in line. I didn't want to deal with that. And in that particular case, it was clear to him for whatever reason that that's what I wanted. And I might have actually said, you know, this is all I want. I sent him that message. And we do that all the time, and it makes so many things so much easier. Be very upfront. This is what I'm looking for. Here's what's important to me. Now, some of you are listening and saying, well, I don't want to tell them what's important to me because I want to be able to fight on everything so they won't know what's important on me and they won't feel that I'm fighting a little bit more on the things that are most important, and so I'll actually win on the most important things. Yes, that may in fact be true. It's rarely true, but it may in fact be true. The other side of that equation is you've just taken goodwill off the table. And if you're buying something that is only transactional, which rarely happens anymore in the world, if you're never going to see this person again and they're never going to have to service or support what you're doing, fine. But the fact is, the vast majority of times, your relationship with them matters, and the relationship up front matters. And if you don't give, it's not unusual for reciprocity. To your point, Wendy, is that if I don't give and I don't try to give, then they won't try to give either. And now it's a tug of war. Okay. And that leads us into preparing for the long term, doesn't it?
Exactly. So there's lots of things that we buy on an irregular and infrequent basis. So we think, oh, it's okay to be adversarial with the guy that we're buying a car from because we're not going to buy another car for 4 years. And he's, you know, thinking about his commission, and he knows that you're not necessarily going to come back for another 4 years. And so he can be slightly adversarial with you. Because who knows, you might go somewhere else or they might be somewhere else. The likelihood of you meeting up again is, you know, low. And so you can, the negotiation can be a bit scratchy. But you're betting on a future, right? You're saying, okay, I believe that I'm never going to see this person again, and so I can behave in these ways. But that future is not assured. So I bought a car in San Antonio, so like 8 months ago, 9 months ago, and I had a great experience with a great guy. And what, 2 months later, you bought a car from the same guy.
Yep.
Because you said, what were they like? And I said, talk to this guy, he's awesome. And so he got another sale out of it because
yep,
he was nice to me. He did all the things that I wanted, because he was pretty good at reading me too. So I never said to him, oh, by the way, my boss might buy a car as well. But he treated it as if we might yep. have a longer term relationship. And because he treated it that way, he got what he wanted. So it doesn't matter whether you think you're in it for the long term or you think it's just going to be this one deal. Treat it as if it's going to be for the long term. Treat it as if it's going to be a relationship that you're going to continue, because one, it might turn into a relationship that you're going to continue. And two, people move around. Companies move around. Divisions get bought. We keep saying this. People turn up in the strangest places that yeah. you've dealt with before. And if you've dealt with them before and thought, I'm never going to see this person again, and so I'm going to be adversarial, and then they turn up and they've got some kind of something you want, and that relationship is already damaged, you just burnt a bridge you didn't need to.
Yeah. There's a sign in every harbor all over the world. And the translation, wherever you are, into English is no wake. Meaning, yes. You have to go slowly enough in your boat that you don't create a wake. And the reason for that, of course, is a wake hits all the boats in the harbor and rocks all the boats. And so we're supposed to go slow. And it's essentially a speed limit that is actually somewhat variable depending upon the type of boat you're in. Some boats make bigger wakes or smaller wakes or what have you. And you leave a wake behind you everywhere you go. And your wake will come back to bounce off the shore and come back to hit you. I've actually been in a channel where if you get going too fast and then you stop, your wake ends up bouncing off, and it's very uncomfortable. So you have to assume you're there for the long term. And too many people see negotiations as, I'm going to step out of my normal self, I'm going to win this battle, and then I'm going to step back into my normal self. But it's not that way, because it's not war. And these are people you'll probably have to go work with again. And you can either build up your credibility or tear down your credibility. And obviously, if you've taken time to build the relationship with them, it will be easier. The less relationship you have, the more it is win-lose. The more you have relationships with more people, the more likely you're end up in negotiations. The more you go into it seeing it as a long-term thing, and a negotiation is an inevitable part of knowing somebody, the more likely you are to have to be seen by other people as somebody they want to work with. And smile at people on your way up, because you'll see them on your way back yeah. down.
Or even if you're not on the way up, even if you're going around in circles, you'll see the yeah. same people.
So, folks, just to sum up, if you're new to negotiation, don't buy into the common wisdom, okay? Don't believe it's win-lose. Don't believe it's about you getting more than the other person. Recognize that negotiations are part of human interactions, particularly professional interactions. And those interactions, in the long term, for you and for your opponent, if you will, and for society, are better served by a stronger relationship in the beginning, which comes from communicating frequently about things that are important to them. And being willing to give up certain things helps you get more of what you want. Give people more of what they want, and they'll help you get more of what you want. And these are both behaviors that help you prepare for the long term. And if you're not careful and you see a negotiation as a one-off, you'll win and win and win and win until there's no one left to stand beside you when you need to build a coalition, because they don't like working with you, because they begin to see you as somebody who sees them as roadblocks to getting what they want. And movies always make negotiations dramatic.
I was talking to someone earlier about lawyers. Lawyers rarely go to court. Like, the whole right. point of being a lawyer is to avoid court.
Right.
And yet every TV program and
every TV program shows the lawyer in court, and every TV program shows cops with guns. Sorry, not in Britain, but in the U.S. with guns, firing the guns, when in fact something like less than 1% of all police officers ever fired their guns on duty. Because what you see on TV and what you hear about in the news is by definition dramatic, but a good professional career actually is not dramatic. It's investing in other people, delivering results, and having the great relationships that come from time and attention.
And like many of the things we talk about, you don't have to wait until you're negotiating some, you know, million-dollar deal for a bridge or yes. whatever. You can do this today or tomorrow, whenever you're listening. We constantly negotiate with people, constantly. Like, what time can you do this? Oh, well, I can do it at this time. Could you do it half an hour earlier? Because that would work better for me. That's a negotiation. You know, we had someone this week who wanted to move a meeting and did tell us why.
Yeah.
And we were kind of like, actually, no, we're not going to move it. And had they said, you know, I have to go, my wife is taking the child to the doctor, and so I have to go and pick the other one up, we'd have said, no worries. Well, of course, we'll move.
Yeah.
Because they'd have given us information that would have
exactly.
made us want to help them.
And without information, and with the adversarial relationship they were taking, and they never actually offered whatever the reason was, and they seemed to think that it would be no big deal, and we actually told them it's going to cost us at least a week. Had they been more generous, I would have been less likely to be as direct with them in the call as I was. And unfortunately, if you don't have a relationship built on trust, when somebody makes a blind ask, you assume it's blind for a reason, that they don't mm-hmm. want you to know. And that breeds distrust as well, as it did in this situation.
So you've got 1,000 opportunities to start practicing. So practice on something small or test it on something small if you really don't believe us, and then go bigger.
Yeah, good. Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. This is Career Tools. Come back next week.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.